Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God, and we're talking about goats and sheep, because Jesus talked about goats and sheep, and separating the goats out from the sheep, and putting the sheep on the right-hand side, and the goats on the left-hand side, and he called the sheep righteous, and the goats unrighteous, and he put the goats in everlasting torment. And so you want to make sure you're not a goat, because this same parable was found elsewhere in the Bible in a similar fashion, where he talks about, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." And in the other location, the ones of iniquity actually thought that they were Christians. They thought they were doing great things in the name of Christ, and he says, "Get ye from me, you workers of iniquity." So they think they're sheep, and they're actually goats. They're not sheep. And this is because there's a lot of false teachers that have crept in and are teaching us lies. Sometimes it's because they themselves have been taught lies by their seminary professors. I mean, I was, when I was in the seminary, I was taught lies. But I kept asking questions, and eventually I realized that if you really want to be smart and clever, you don't want to keep eating from the tree of knowledge. You want to eat from the tree of life. And this is, of course, how Christ said he was going to build his kingdom. Not by flesh and blood revealing something to you, not by studying. Not that studying in itself is bad. But the only way you're really going to know is by divine revelation. That's right, by divine revelation. By the Spirit of God speaking to you in your heart and your mind. That's the way you're going to really know. And to some, he's speaking to them already. And we see manifest in their life what we see as kingdom tracks. They seem to have a tendency towards home church. That's great. Home church is great. But everybody who goes in a home church, that's not necessarily a good thing. It could be a bad thing. Maybe because you want to get into a little clique group that makes you, you know, mutual admiration society, and you don't want to do all that driving down to the regular church. So you want to do it at your house. I don't know why you want it, but the act itself is not complete evidence that you're on the right path. But that's one of the tracks. Another track is homeschoolers. Homeschoolers are people who are, generally speaking, taking back the responsibility of raising their children and teaching them in their homes, like the Bible says, "Fathers, teach thy children in your home." And also they see that, you know, I know public school teachers who are homeschoolers. They go make their living teaching at a public school, but they themselves won't go to the public schools. And send their children to the public schools, I mean. But they'll go there and make a living, I guess, which is a strange, bizarre turn of events. So anyway, we're talking about this in Matthew 25:32-46, and we read it during the last show, and it explains what is going on. But now we're equating it to, and we have this all on a webpage at preparingyou.com. We'll eventually probably have it as an article on hisholychurch.net. And if you want to know where all these things first appear, you should join the Living Network at thelivingnetwork.org, which will probably take you to a link at Preparing You. And you can join the local network in your area and start meeting other people and start home churching there. But home church in itself is congregationalism. Christ was preaching a kingdom. So when you start understanding what that means, you'll understand that you need to start networking with other people. And this is one of the things that goats don't do. Goats go off looking for greener pastures. And when we had goats, we often had horned goats because we live, I mean, coyotes, mountain lions, bobcats, everything come right into our yard here. And so even though they can't really fin off an attack with horns, they've got a better chance than a goat that doesn't have any horns. So we always left horns on the goats. But the goats had a tendency to stick their head through the sheep wire and get stuck. And with the horns, they really got stuck because they couldn't get their head back through. So you would see these goats sometimes standing there for hours with their head stuck to the fence. You'd go over and you'd pinch your finger trying to get their head turned and back out of the deal, and you'd slap them in the face to say, don't do this again. They got more feed inside the fenced area than outside. I've seen them do this where they get their head stuck reaching out to eat a piece of Russian thistle. And there's some Russian thistle inside the fence, but there's thick grass and clover and everything else inside the fence. But they want to reach through the fence. They want to step outside the circle. This is in their nature. They want to go out and do their own thing. They don't want to do the shepherd's thing. And they'll look back at you like, what? And that's the way they are. So this is in the nature of the goats. And we have a little picture of a goat there sticking its head through the fence. And that's the way they were all the time. And that's telling you a little bit about goats. And he could have put the goats on the right side and the sheep on the left side. But he picked goats because they have certain characteristics. And if you read ancient scripts that were written by Brahmana, who is Abraham, which are actually the Arthavedas and some of these ancient scripts that eventually produced the Hindu religion, they talk about monkeys and storks and all these different kinds of animals. And the reason why is because in those animals you see certain characteristics, and so therefore they're telling metaphors about the nature of man by using these creatures. Now, people have all twisted that around and created whole religions, and they built temples to monkeys and everything, and they missed the whole point. But it's not unlike modern Christianity. I've always been surprised that we haven't found some church that has a pond out front, and everybody would go out as part of the religious rituals to go out there and throw bread on the water of the pond, feed the ducks, and it become a religious ritual, because he says cast our bread upon the waters. But fortunately, everybody knows that's a metaphor. They actually don't know why it's a metaphor and what he's trying to tell you. In most Protestant churches, they're not in the business of casting their bread upon the waters as a general rule of what they call the elders of their church, which they've got wrong too. But I've always been amazed that somebody is on the board of elders and he gives a big donation to the church, and then he runs around the table and he's one of the elders, so he gets to decide how that money's going to be spent. And I thought, well, wait a minute, when are you going to actually cast your bread upon the waters? Because all you did is cast it over to the other side of the table, and you ran over to the other side of the table, and you control it anyway. You see, that's not the way it works. That's not the way it worked from the beginning. They had to give their sacrifice to somebody else that they were learning to trust. And why? So that that individual could learn to be trustworthy. It's like, how are you going to learn to lift a heavy weight unless you lift a heavy weight? You have to actually exercise those muscles of trust. And so you pick men you trust and you give them a little trust. You know, don't go doing the Saul thing where you give him right to be king over the whole country. Next thing you know, he's going to be breaking all kinds of rules, like forcing sacrifices and taking your sons and daughters and making his instruments of war, and taking and taking and taking of the first fruits of your labor, and then someday you'll cry out, God won't hear you. Because that's what Samuel said, if you go elect a guy who can exercise authority. And they did it anyway. And people are still doing it. And then they're wondering why there's dictatorships and tyranny in the world. It's because you're not doing it according to the ways of God. You've rejected God. That was called a rejection of God. So go figure. That, I mean, you talk about your goats, the goats reject the shepherd and they want to go do their own thing. Lots of luck with that. So anyway, the kingdom at hand and the righteousness of God we are to be seeking, which was preached by Christ and Paul for the living, not for the dead, is simple. You need to repent. And you should pray to your Father in heaven for your daily bread. And that's what it says in the prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, when thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Keys to the kingdom. On earth as it is in heaven. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our EBT card. I mean, what's the daily bread? I mean, if you don't have enough food, can you give me enough food so that I can get by? Well, who are you praying to for that daily food, that daily bread? Are you praying to the fathers of the earth or the Father in heaven? Yeah, because Jesus said, you're not supposed to call any man father on the earth. So if you're praying to a man, applying to some man to give you your daily bread, how's he getting that daily bread to give to you? You know, that daily bread, that's kind of a metaphor for benefits. You know, and benefits could be, you know, an EBT card, you know, because you're on food stamps. 45 million Americans are, and a lot of those are modern Christians. Should they be on EBT cards? No. Should they starve to death? No, they shouldn't starve to death. But they should be striving and seeking. Where would they get food? Well, the early church, they gave out food. They gave out loaves of bread, sacks of grain. That's what they did in their meeting. We have minutes of their meetings recorded in history. Way back, 100 AD, 150 AD. There were ministers writing to the emperor, Antonius Pius, saying, this is what we do. Those that have, share with those that don't have enough. And they have sacks of bread, daily bread. Why were they doing this? This was famines were going on in Rome at that time. People were starving. Why are they telling the emperor about what they're doing in church? Because Christians were persecuted because they wouldn't sign up for EBT cards. I can't remember. Was it a terracotta? Is the name of the coin that you would carry to prove that you were entitled to your daily bread. And it was given out by the government. But the problem with this system of daily bread that was offered by the fathers of the earth, Rome, and had been offered by Herod, was that these are men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. And Jesus said it wasn't to be that way with us. And see, when you got the baptism of Jesus Christ, which was like that baptism of Herod, I mean, Jesus didn't baptize anybody, the apostles did. It was like the baptism of Herod, like the baptism of Herod. But it was in uniformity with the baptism of John the Baptist. So what was the difference between John the Baptist's baptism and the baptism of Herod? Most people don't know that Herod was baptizing. Well, he was. And if you go to our website at hisholychurch.org and you do a search for baptism, you'll find articles there on baptism. And we show you that Herod was baptizing people into the kingdom of God. But his image of the kingdom of God was very much different. It was a lot like the image of government for the modern Christian. And the modern Christian would love to join the system offered by Herod, and has joined a similar system offered by the world today in almost every country. And it's based on you sign up and you become a registered member of that system, and then you have to pay in according to the strict legal requirements set down by your legislature or your parliament or your Sanhedrin or whatever it is, and its money goes into a treasury, and they call that Corban. As a matter of fact, they actually even call in the Bible the word Corban is written down as Corban once, but at another time it's actually translated treasury. Same word is translated also treasury. And this is how they got the money to build the Golden Temple, through this system. But Jesus condemned that system then for the Jew and for the Gentile. And everybody thinks that, oh, everything that Jesus said, that was for the Jews. That's not for us. We're the Gentiles. The Roman centurion was listening to him back then. And he was a Gentile. And he was the one that he said had more faith than anybody. Jesus wasn't just preaching to the Jews. He was preaching to us all. Anybody who wants to throw out the gospel of Jesus in exchange for the gospel of Paul is an idiot. Now, I'm going to be rough on you. You're an idiot. Paul preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. He told you about things that were hard to understand. But it's the same gospel. It's not a different gospel. The reason he's talking to the people about you are saved by grace is because they had already repented and turned around and were following the ways of the sheep, the brethren of Christ. They were taken care of. They were already in a network of faith, hope, and charity operating by the perfect law of liberty. You're not. He's not talking to you. He's talking to people who have repented. If you haven't repented, you're under a strong delusion thinking you're saved. Because you're not saved. You're actually could be a worker of iniquity. And those who went the way of Herod and the way of the Pharisees instead of the way of John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, and the apostles in the early church were workers of iniquity. They were the goats. They were going to do their own thing. They thought the grass was greener on their side. And see, this is your choice. You can't change the course of history. You can just change where you're going to be in it. Where are you going to show up in history? Are you going to show up in the goat side or the sheep side? So anyway, on this webpage at preparingyou.com/wiki/goats and sheep, and basically look for goats and sheep, that phrase in the search engine, it'll pop right up. Or like I say, join the Living Network and somebody will show you. It's already been sent to all the ministers, the link to this page. But anyway, there are links to other pages that show you fathers of the earth. Who were the fathers of the earth? That was the fathers of the earth were like the Roman Senate and the Sanhedrin. The Roman Senate, all the senators were called patri. And Jesus said, call no man patri upon the earth. Ah, suddenly, bingo. Did you know the emperor was called our father? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So when Jesus says, when he's asked, how do we pray? How do we apply for benefits in the kingdom of God that you're preaching? He says, pray in like manner. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, when thy will be done. He's talking about doing the will of the Father. He hasn't turned religion into what you think about the deity. It's still how you perform your duty to God and your fellow man when Jesus is mentioning it and talking about it. When James talks about pure religion, he's talking about doing this, fulfilling this obligation, not by force, till John the Baptist, everybody was trying to do it by force. It says that two places in the gospel. You probably miss it. I mean, it's like a magician translated the Bible. Part of it is because of the fact that you've got these preconceived notions. You know, in the next section down from this, and there's a link to Corbin and shows you how Corbin works and all that stuff. I should put another link in there about baptism. I think there is on that page. But there's a, let's see here. I talked earlier about, because Paul talks about giving in Corinthians 13:3, we see, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. What is he talking about? You give all your goods away to the poor, to feed the poor, and you don't have charity? How could that be? Because charity isn't about just giving. Charity is about love. I mean, if you gave everything to your kids that they wanted, they said, oh, I want a car. You give them a car. I want a toy here. I want a tractor. I want this. I want that. I want this. And you just get, every time they ask for something, you give it to them. What kind of kid do you think you would be raising up? Would that be a good parent? No, of course not. So giving people everything they want, even giving somebody everything they need or think they need, is not good. Sometimes people need to fast a little bit. Go without. So another quote I put in here is Matthew 21:43. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. The word nation there is just people. But it is actually a shift of the kingdom. Christ was going to take the kingdom away, and he did. And then he says, I'm going to appoint it to my little flock. And you see that in Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And in Luke 22:25, he says, and he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles, the other nations, that's what that means, Gentile means other nations, exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. Now he's talking to the apostles and telling them, but ye shall not be so. You're not supposed to be like the kings of the Gentiles. But he goes on to say, I appoint unto you a kingdom. I appoint unto you a kingdom. Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. That's in Matthew 20:25. It shall not be so with you. In Mark 10:42, but Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship. The other nations, he's saying. He's appointing an actual government to Jews, to the apostles. And we call it the church, but this is a government. But he says this government can't be like all these other governments of these other nations round about us who exercise the lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. It is not to be that way with you. So this is an actual government, and this is why historians like the guy who wrote Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, Edmund Gibbons, calls the church, the early church, a viable republic in the heart of the Roman Empire. Even still today in the Black's Law Dictionary, the church is defined as one form of government. But it's a government that operates by the perfect law of liberty, where the leaders of that government are titular. They can't dictate to you doctrine. They can't dictate to you what you're going to give. They can't kick in your door if you don't give enough. But they are supposed to be taking care of the daily bread. And you see, this is why Christians were persecuted, is because they took care of the daily bread through faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty, meeting once a week and saying those that have can share now with those that don't have enough. And they had ministers to make sure that people were, the daily ministration to the widows and orphans and needy of their society was not neglected. It wasn't just a little congregational group meeting in a house to feel good about what they think about God. It was actually for the purposes of fulfilling your duty to God and your fellow man by attending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. What's mercy? You don't have enough bread. Your family's going to go hungry. Your husband fell off a ladder. He's broke his back. He can't work for 6 months. How are you going to survive? You're not. You got to go to the government for help. Who's your government? Who are you going to call? apostles and your ministers that you look out amongst yourself and pick men you trust, and your neighbor, because he loves you as much as he loves himself, is going to help you out so that you get through this hard time. And your children are going to grow up remembering the days that you brought food to their house. And your congregation is going to be bound by charity, which is love, not charity of giving. The same word we see Paul using when he says charity is the same word we always see Jesus using when they say, he says love. The translators just translated love when Jesus says it and charity when Paul says it. And then you wonder why you're confused. You know what Plutarch says? The real destroyers of liberty of the people is he who spreads amongst them bounties, donations, and benefits. Gifts, gratuities, and benefits. Depending on whose translation you read of Plutarch. This is what he's talking about. And Jesus talks about this. And Paul talks about it. What agreement do you have with unbelievers? Are you going to eat meat sacrificed to idols? What is he talking about? It's talking about welfare to those men who don't believe in charity. They believe in force. And they're going to force your contributions. Oh my gosh. You know what's going to happen if you do that? If you go that way? You're rejecting God. Yeah, you're rejecting. You're going to cannibalize your children. That's right. You're going to cannibalize your children. And the California State Supreme Court Justice Janice Rogers Brown tells you that. Now remember, Social Security and Corbin of the Pharisees are almost identical systems. The Corbin of the Pharisees was condemned by Christ. They are almost identical systems. And we'll talk about this when we come back. And we'll tell you what Janice Roger Brown said. And it just got people all up in arms. But we'll tell you how there is a solution where you can actually hear the truth and do something about it. You know, that's the beauty of the truth. The truth will set you free. But you have to be willing to hear it and act upon it. And when we come back, we'll show you how Christ was setting men free so they didn't have to sin anymore. Be right back. Don't miss it. Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our life seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom. Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm rushing here through my email. My email sometimes comes in faster than I can read. So every moment I get, I try to get caught up on it. We're talking about this separation of goats and sheep. And it's so interesting because most people think that Christ is going to separate the goats and sheep based on what you think. Oh, I accepted Jesus, so therefore I get to be over on the sheep side. But that's not what he says. But then, of course, people say, well, no, Paul preached a new gospel to, I don't know where he got it from. The fact is it was new to the understanding of many. And this is why Peter says that Paul's going to talk to you about things that are difficult to understand. It's not a different gospel. It's just in more depth. And it's kind of Christianity 102. And the importance of understanding that is that Paul was talking to people that had repented and were already seeking and striving, as Christ said to do, to be righteous in the performance of your duty to God and your fellow man. And people like James was pointing out that your duty to God and your fellow man, which is the definition of the word religion, needed to be unspotted by the world. And then he used the word world, that means constitutional order or system of government. In other words, you're supposed to be taking care of one another without the help of men who exercise authority one over the other. Everything starts to fall into place. You know, but, you know, I'm one of those guys that I can quote you words right out of the mouth of Christ, and people will say, who go to church regularly, will turn to me and say, well, where did Jesus say that? They don't even know he said it. I can go to ministers who have 100 years of experience and quote Jesus, and they won't know he said it. Right in their translation of the Bible. And they don't know what he said. And they've got all years of seminary training, years and years of reading the Bible, and I can quote exactly the verses right out of the Bible that came out of the mouth of Jesus Christ that were direct statements as to what to do, and they've never heard it. They can't remember. What is that? It's the collective unconsciousness. We need more monkeys that are willing to see the truth, say this truth, and speak the truth. Somebody was noticing something on Facebook that my son posted this quote from, let's go down to it, because I said we were going to talk about it, from Janice Roger Brown, who I'm in love with that lady now. I think she's great. I've got a whole bunch of quotes from her. I'm already putting them into other articles that will appear on News and Views. But she's a fascinating woman, graduated from high school at 16 and graduated from Harvard at, I think, about 20. She's very bright, very bright. But she is as conservative as you can get. I mean, she's more conservative than conservatives. Absolutely hates the New Deal. But she's very outspoken. She's a black woman. And but she's not like many people that you're going to find. But anyway, she says, regarding Social Security today, today's senior citizen blithely cannibalizes their grandchildren because they have a right to get as much free stuff as the political system will permit them to extract. Now, you really have to understand what she means with political system, what she means by Social Security, most people don't understand how Social Security works, and why she says blithely cannibalizes their children. The Bible warns us that we would do this in the last days. They warn us that we would cannibalize our children, that we would curse them. Yeah, it does. It tells us all about that. We'll get to that eventually. I don't know if we'll get to it today, but we'll get to it. But I have members of my family who, when they first hear this, they thought, oh, I don't like that. You know, and my own brothers don't read my books. Some of my kids don't even read my books. Some of my kids got to read them all as they were growing up. But this collective unconsciousness, you get sucked over into it. I mean, decent people will be sucked over into this collective unconsciousness, and you'll begin to think a certain way, and you'll see their minds being molded by the world. It's also by the flesh and also by the devil will have influences over you because you don't have the full armor of God. You have a form of godliness, but you're denying the power thereof. And how do you deny the power thereof? You do not act upon what you are is revealed to you is right, because it's more convenient to go along, to get along. And it changes you. You're changed by that, by giving in on these little things. It changes you. It changes your heart. It strips away the armor so that evil can get in and make you angry and upset and tempt you with things of the flesh and tempt you with things of greed and things of, well, I've got a right to my Social Security. I paid into it all these years. No, you don't understand how the system works. When you give your money into Social Security, you're casting your bread upon the waters. That's the way it's always been. That's your burnt offering. You're giving that up. That's not for you. That's for the needy today. Did you read the contract? Oh, you didn't. Oh my gosh. You're an idiot. You never read the Social Security Act? You don't know how it works? No, a guy told me once, this is the way it works. A guy told me once. My goodness. I mean, next thing you know, you'll be asking lawyers. Ask Paul. Paul says you're not supposed to covet your neighbor's goods. That's what the system is based on. Your neighbor, when you get old, or when you get disabled, your neighbor, he's going to have to pay in to take care of your benefits. He has to pay in because he has signed up too. He has to pay into this. It's a voluntary system. Once you sign up, it's not voluntary anymore. It's kind of like joining the army. You know, the sergeant comes in and says, I'm looking for 3 volunteers. Everybody stands there. Nobody moves. And then he points to this private. You, and you. Come here. He says, well, Sergeant, I thought you were looking for volunteers. You're wearing a uniform, aren't you? You're already volunteered. Now he gets to tell you what to do. So when you volunteer into the system, once you're in that system, you're in that system. A lot of people say, oh, well, my parents signed me up. I want to opt out. Well, your parents signed you up and you went to public schools. Your parents sold you. You're in that system. Now pay the tax. Quit whining about it. But start seeking the kingdom of God, and you will be set free. I'm just waking you up when you're in bondage. I mean, you're in bondage. You know that, right? I mean, that's one of the things that Janice Roger Brown points out. And she gets a lot, but she should read my stuff. What we call our stuff. But anyway, in the bondage of Egypt, 20% of everything you did, your labor, 20% of your labor belonged to the government. And they call that bondage. In America, 20, 30, 40, 50% belongs to the government, and you call it freedom. Well, you're just deluded. It's not freedom. You're not free. America is not free. Neither is any other country, because they all have the same systems. Although, in some countries I can name, 20% of the people don't have to pay any. They don't have a number. They haven't been numbered. I mean, you know, your Social Security number, you have to have that Social Security number to buy and sell in the world today. People say, oh, no, you don't. I go buy stuff and sell stuff all the time, and I don't ever use my Social Security number. Yeah, you do. You can't get a bank account. You can't get a contractor's license. You can't get a marriage license. You can't get a driver's license. You can't get any kind of government license whatsoever to work or do anything in this country without a Social Security number. Right? You know where you know that? Yeah, you can look it up. Title 42. Go down to Section 666. Yeah, I'm not kidding you. Section 666. It tells you got to have that number to do any of those things in the United States. Now, you don't have to have that number to do those things in America, but in the United States, you do. Now, how could I say that? Well, that's another whole story, and we won't get into that, or we won't get anywhere today on finishing up. The real destroyers of liberties of the people is he who spreads amongst them bounties, donations, and benefits, gifts, gratuities, and benefits. There are lots of ideas around that could cause our liberty in Christ to be spoiled. And if you go and read in Galatians 2:4, and that because of false brethren. Now, these are not the brethren you're supposed to be helping. There are false brethren out there. If you're feeding, if you're contributing to these false brethren, that's not going to do you any good to get over there in the sheep. Remember, the sheep are sorted out, the righteous are sorted out because they give to the least of my brethren. But there are false brethren going around that unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, is Galatians 2:4, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. That's right. They wanted to bring them into bondage. How did they do that? You know, in Galatians 5:1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." How do you get entangled again in the yoke of bondage? You apply for the benefits. Christians were executed, burned, killed, maimed, tortured, because they refused to sign up for the Corban of Rome. They refused to get a birth certificate under Marcus Aurelius in 168 AD, which would be registered in the Temple of Saturn, which was a government building, because the reason you got a birth certificate is so that we could prove that you were eligible for benefits. They would not apply for those benefits. They would not participate in those systems. And they were voluntary at first, but eventually became mandatory under some emperors, and illegally so, but they persecuted the Christians. And we've shown this time and time again, and we could go into detail, because we have the actual words right out of the mouths of the judges and the rulers of the time saying that you need to sign up for benefits. And they said, no, we won't. And so they executed them. They actually used the word benefits. And they wouldn't do it. Why? Because those are the benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to hell because you did that. I'm saying you need to repent. You need to turn around and start creating a system based on faith, hope, and charity. When you join the social security systems of the world, and they got, you know, national insurance, and they got all these things in other countries, you're going into a system like Herod's system of Corban. What your sacrifice is, your burnt offering, it goes on living altars of civil authorities. They put it in their Corban, in their treasury. And because, you know, like in the United States, it doesn't just go separately. Everything you pay into Social Security, it's not in a separate fund. And we, if you go read our article, which we link to on this page too, Not So Secure Socialism, we show you that the Supreme Court has ruled several times that your Social Security money is mixed with all the other general fund money. It's not separate. They cannot separate it out. It is not distinguishable. We do the same thing in the church. But we don't centralize funds in the church. The most of the funds of the church are in the pockets of the people. Some is in the pockets of the ministers to use for the purposes of the ministry, to be health, education, and welfare, and the faith emergency ministry auxiliary for the people. That's what the church was. And they were feeding the people during times of famine, they were helping them out during times of sickness, and they found that they received special powers to heal. And that's because they were putting on the full armor of God. And these are the people that Paul is writing to when he's saying that you're saved by grace. Because they had repented. Not because they were doing everything right, but they were prodigal sons returning to serve in their father's house. If you're just changing the way you think, but not the way you do, Christ makes it clear. It's not those who say, but those who do. Not those who keep cutting and pasting Bible quotes, but those who do the will of the Father. And if you're doing the opposite of the way of the Father, then you're in a lot of trouble. So the money you paid into Social Security all these years, into what, I mean, it could be national insurance or whatever country you're in, they're all bankrupt. They're bankrupt. There's no money there. So if you take money out, if you take benefits out, somebody's got to pay that back. And you're already old and infirm. You're not going to be paying it back. So who's going to pay it back? It's your children and your neighbor's children. But they'll be in debt. Men who exercise authority are going to compel them. They're going to have to whip them harder to keep building that pyramid. You've gone the wrong way. You've gone a way opposite of what the gospel tells you to do. You've gone the way of the Corbin of the Pharisees that makes the word of God to none effect. And Jesus says, woe unto them who do this. And you can tell me you believe in Jesus all you want, but you are not going the way of Christ. You are going the opposite a way that he said to go. Christians did it all. They took care of all the social welfare of Christians, unspotted by the constitutional order and systems of governments of the world that used force to gather the offerings of the people. Levites didn't kick in the door of the people to get their free will offerings, and neither did Christians. But the Pharisees did under Herod. And Romans, while they didn't originally in Rome, by the time it became an empire, they did. And if you wouldn't sign up, they outlawed foreign religion about 150. It's in the article. I can't remember exactly when it was. They outlawed foreign religion, and Christianity was a foreign religion. Of course, modern Christians, they're not all that foreign. Modern Christian churches are corporations of the state, so they're not foreign. They've already bowed down, and they've become part of the system. And the fact is, the modern Christian church, they do some charity. But like I say, the early church did it all. They took care of all faith, hope, and charity of the needy of their society. And you have to do that, unspotted by the world. This is what he's saying. It's all in there. It's all in the Bible, but people aren't listening. People may ask, how do we covet our neighbor's goods as modern Christians? Because that's what I'm saying. Modern Christians covet their neighbor's goods. Well, it's through these systems. Let's take it away from Social Security. Let's take it into the public school arena. My kids didn't go to public school. They were all home taught. I have 6 kids, all raised, 12 years of schooling. Actually, if you count daycare and kindergarten, you're talking 14 years of schooling. Used to be, at the time we first started this, it was $6,000 plus per student per year. So that's times 6. That's a lot of money per year. Well, now it's over $10,000 in local school. And in some schools throughout the country, you can go as high as $20,000 per student. Anyway, it comes to over $500,000. Would it cost the taxpayer if I had sent my kids to school? Because they would have had to foot that bill. Well, during that period of time, I was paying property tax, and at most, it probably amounted to about $40,000 or $50,000 in property tax, which paid for the school. And there were other taxes that we were paying, but it wasn't $500,000. So, you know, because I never went to public school myself either. So I didn't go, my kids didn't go, and we never ate at the trough of the tribe for our education. We were educated, all my kids were educated at home. But doing simple math, that comes up with somebody had to come up with an additional $450,000 for my kids if I had sent them to public school. Who's going to pay that? My neighbor. And if they don't pay it, I'm going to take their home away from them through the agency of government, all legally. But I'm going to force them to contribute to my child's education. And now people are all up in arms about health care. Oh, health care. This is a terrible system, and I'm losing, and it's going to cost you more. We just posted recently to everybody on the Living Network some real interesting doctors' videos on health care and insurance, and showing you how you are getting absolutely ripped off even before health care. This new Obamacare they have in America. Or in the United States, you were getting ripped off. And we can show you how you can lower your medical bills by half or a third, or two-thirds, lower it down to a third of what they are now. But you have to actually be seeking the kingdom. You have to be seeking the righteousness of God. And actually, we can even show you how you can eliminate your, in some cases, eliminate your medical bills, because there are remedies that don't cost you anything that can actually provide you with better health. But it's a case-by-case basis, and we don't have time to go into that. But basically, this is coveting your neighbor's goods. And people squeal now at the new health care that everybody's going to have to go get. But nobody squealed at the fact that we were paying for your child's education, but we were teaching our children at home. Wow. Wow. And we weren't very good at it. We didn't have any experience. If we did this generation after generation, we could get better and better at it. And the tools are all available. But you have to actually be seeking the righteousness of God. It's not just seeking the kingdom. It's seeking the righteousness. You know, I've got guys that think they're in the kingdom and they're ambassadors to the kingdom, but they aren't doing this. They don't even take care of their family. It's just a joke. They're not doing what Christ said. So anyway, I don't understand how some could desire benefits from men who exercise authority one over the other, and you already heard me read that Christ said it was not to be that way with us, without coveting their neighbor's goods, because that is where the benefits come from. They come from your neighbor. They force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. If we all did that, soon the country would be bankrupt and our children would be cursed with paying an unpayable debt to those men who call themselves benefactors. And then I write here in the article, oh, wait, that has already happened. Yes, you've already gone down that road. And now I'm telling you, repent and let's go back. And we have a link right there for Not So Secure Socialism, which explains how the system works. We have a number of articles that explain how it works. And how is it opposition to what Christ preached to begin with? Because the early church, even 200 years ago, if you had a need, you didn't go to the government. You went to church. That's where you went. But now they're building buildings and they're putting in sound systems. And if you actually need anything that's important, they send you to the government. Two men who exercise authority, one over the other. This is why Janice Roger Brown says, regarding Social Security today, senior citizens blithely cannibalize their children. They take a bite out of their children by cursing them with debt because they have the right to get as much free stuff. They have that right. I'm not saying they don't have the right to take that Social Security. I'm just saying what's happening when you do it. Everybody's complaining about the government not cutting the budget. What about you? Now, I'm not saying you have to stop taking your Social Security, but you should start turning around and start gathering together and doing it the way we used to do it in this country, the way we used to do it as Christians. Start taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity, and stop all this play charity where you go off and help somebody in Africa who probably knows more about the kingdom than you do, because they're helping each other, because this is what you find in poor countries. In poor countries, you actually find people helping one another. They're closer to the kingdom than you guys. And America is the big mission field in the world today. So join with us and start seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Start turning around. I could give you several more quotes, but we're out of time on how the Bible talks about this cursing of your children and biting your children and devouring your children. But we'll have to do that in the next show of Keys of the Kingdom. Till then, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net. Thank you.